Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Passengers awaiting flight H151. That's flight H151. Please approach the gate. Your flight is now ready for boarding.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast, featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yas, and Stephen.
You London boys are crazy.
It's Christmas. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Sing it, bro.
Bro, this Christmas setup that you have here is looking sensational.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Is that a real tree, by the way?
Yeah, it's a real tree. Do you know what's really funny about me? Like, for a long time, I would consider myself a Scrooge when it came to Christmas. Is that hard to believe?
When it comes to Christmas or, like, daily?
Nah, Christmas.
Okay, Christmas. Okay, so you wasn't a big Christmas guy.
No, I wasn't really. And I was like, I ain't getting no decorations for my house, bro.
Nice, nice, man. Christmas cheer.
Yeah, I know. But the funny thing is, it's like, I never did it. And obviously now I've got a place. I was like, I can't just have a bare place with no decorations up. So I got myself a little tree. And I got some tinsel and some baubles.
Very nice.
Some lights. And did the decoration thing. And it looks great. Tamara said it looks like a John Lewis tree.
It actually does. It looks really, really nice.
Safe.
Kwams.
Welcome, Kwame.
What are you saying? Friend? Greetings over there in London.
Talk to us about the Christmas setup in Amsterdam, my friend.
There's not a lot of it, actually, where I'm around. 6 days to go. There's no tree or ornament in our house. It's kind of a yearly tradition. So some people don't believe in commercialism, which is fine.
That's hilarious.
Just carry it in other areas, my person. But, you know, we'll less about that. There's not been a lot, actually. I don't digress. I make incorrect statements. Oli Bollen is well and truly here. So shout out to the Dutchies with the Oli Bollen.
Oh, my.
Can we get some context on the Oli Bollen, please?
Yes. Oli Bollen is basically like, almost like Puff Puff or just a warm donut. It's basically everywhere in Netherlands or any marketplace in Netherlands, there'll be a stall or a caravan which will be serving you warm donuts, basically. Yeah, donuts, warm treats, deep fried, yeah. With sugar, without sugar, raisins, without raisins. It's a good time. And apparently, the day before Christmas, the whole neighborhood lines up. So, yeah, I've not been getting my Oli Bollen on, but I will before Christmas. So, yeah, good times. And aside from that, just living.
Bro, do you know what I love about the Netherlands? Yeah, is that during the Christmas, like winter time in general, obviously it gets dark at like 3:30 p.m. The lights, like they put lights on trees. The whole city just feels jovial. There's like Christmas trees erected in random places.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really nice city. Amsterdam's a really nice city to be.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
When Christmas is coming, man. It's really, really nice. So you're saying you don't believe in someone in the household, no name's going to be named, don't believe in commercialism and celebrating Christmas over there?
No. They believe in it, but it's like, there's no need for... Sorry. They don't partake in it. So it's like, it's fine, but I'm not going to get a tree because... It's nothing to do with the original story and stuff.
I hear it, but I really like my tree, and I keep
And trees can be liked, but me, you know, I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool. We save money on that, but we spend it on something else. So look, let's keep moving, innit?
And you know what's funny about partners, yeah? If the shoe was on the other foot, do you think you can say you're not getting the tree, bro? Or you're not decorating. You're not getting this chair for the house, or you're not getting this plant because you don't believe it. No, yeah. Are you mad? Yeah. Are you mad?
I'm going to war over ironing boards, fam. It's different over here.
You're going to war over the iron board?
Yeah.
But you know what's so funny about iron boards, yeah? Iron boards are actually so vital, but you don't know you need them until you need them. Like,
bruv.
I don't have one
you
still.
You understand. I am not the most Ghanaian person. But when it comes to like rice cookers and ironing boards, I'm one of the most Ghanaian people out there in it. They are tantamount to our lives, bro. Very important. So
you actually like ironing, don't you?
Bro, I love
you
it.
You love it. Yeah,
do you know what?
Yeah, you do. It. You do.
So when I'm told you use a bedcloth, I'm like, bro, I don't understand this pain, innit?
Bro, you know Kwame, yeah? He looks like one of those guys that on a Sunday evening just has, like, the whole basket of laundry. You look like someone that... You even look like someone who irons his boxers, bro.
Don't. Do you know what? Disrespect. When I was younger, yeah? My mum used to make me do the ironing for the house. And I,
for the whole yard.
Yeah. But that was actually how I would get like a little bit of like
pocket money,
innit? Fair. So I do the ironing for the whole house.
Trick,
yeah.
Mom. Good trick.
But do you know what she would make me do? Iron all the boxes, fam. She'd like, iron your boxes. Until I realized. You see, boxes ain't on show, bruv. Why are you ironing your boxes?
Do you know what it is? I think it's just a discipline thing. So you iron boxes or you iron stuff because it kind of like sets the tone.
You iron socks.
I am not advocating for the ironing of boxes or socks at all. I'm not that guy. But I think from a parent's standpoint, and this just shows how uncalled off I am at this point, because I'm just thinking now from the perspective of a parent, is that it's probably just teaching you some good practice that even though it's not on show, you got to take care of your stuff.
I think my mom would always be like, if anything was to happen to you and you have to go and they have to take off your clothes at like the emergency or like the accident emergency, you want to have some dead boxes on. That was her thinking about why I should iron my boxer shorts, fam.
But boxers is, to me, like...
And have the socks, same socks.
But socks, I feel it. You've been to your boy's yard or your friend's yard. They're like, oh, yeah, you got to take off your shoes. And you're wearing some holy moly socks.
Not holy socks. You can't be wearing holy socks. Like, my mum is a G, yeah. Also very militant. Shout out, mama. Shout out, Sandra. Auntie Sandra. But if I was to sit how Yaf is sitting, and Yaf is sitting like a... You know them old school gentlemen? He's got his foot crossed over here. You know what I'm saying? If I was to walk in and there was a hole underneath
the
shoe, she's coming through and ripping the sock from
hole. That pair's done. That pair is done.
My foot, bro. She's
done.
Like, you ain't wearing that sock again. So when I was younger, bro, I just knew I can't be wearing a holy sock, bro. I learned that very quickly.
The ironing.
Yeah.
I had that too, but I also had to do the, because I was the oldest, I had to polish everyone's shoes.
Bruv. The polish used to smell good though, innit?
Weirdly enough,
yes. It did, didn't it? Did you have the brown brush that you had to...
No. So there was like this one, yeah. It was like a handheld one.
Yeah.
And like you press down.
Yeah.
It's like you're painting the shoe black. Yeah. It was for like arts and craft to a point. It was actually quite therapeutic.
I know exactly which one you're talking about, bro.
Yeah.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. Man just got the wallet, the left hand up the wallaby, the right hand is literally
up the wallaby, you know. Bro. Cash straight in the wallaby, fam. Oh my days. Hey, if anyone listening here has any like childhood disciplinary chores that they had to do, let us know.
Wiping down the skirting boards, fam.
Oh, that's that's bread and butter.
Yeah, bro. Wipe down the skirting.
Bro, in my house, you know what they call it? Oh, yeah. Don't forget to do your Saturday job.
Yeah, the Saturday jobs, bro.
So on Saturday, bro, in the morning, spick and span, you had a list, bro. You had a list to get through. And I would hoover the house, bro. And I'd be like, bro, it's Monday morning. How's the house all dusty already, fam? You understand? Like, upset.
Bro, you see?
You had a carpet, innit?
Ethnic regimes are too funny, yeah? Like, I remember when me and my brothers were young, this was before my little sisters were born, my dad used to make us wake up before school.
Yeah.
And then we'd all have to do, like, 15 press-ups before we even jump in the bath. We'd go do 15 press-ups, and then he'll check our hands to make sure that our nails were cut.
Hey.
Really? Man, bruv.
I'm like, 15 press-ups. He's preparing you for life.
Are we in the military, bruv? Like, what's
he was preparing you for life.
Listen, and then the house, like, we always used to have to make sure every day, like, we obviously be clean the kitchen after we we've had our foods, we have to sweep the kitchen,
take
the rubbish out. But I think these things are good because they get you into routine. So like now, I mean, the one thing that I slack on personally is dishes.
Okay.
I'll stack those dishes until it gets ridiculous. Do you know what, sometimes, if I don't, like, if I didn't have a dishwasher, like, I would try and get rid of them, but after a certain point, bro, I'm just like, I'm just slapping you in the sink.
No, I really like washing dishes. I have a dishwasher, but I like to use my hands.
I'm good at washing dishes, but it's just long.
I love it, bro. Put in a Diet Fan podcast or whoever you may listen to, some music, and then just go to work on them dishes, bro.
It's funny
very
that
liquid
said,
and a sponge.
It's funny that you said whoever you may listen to, because Kwame, you have a religious question that you ask week in, week out, rain, snow, or shine. It's raining very heavily in London today.
It is.
And I hope by the time we get to Christmas, it's not raining anymore. Kwame, ask away, my friend.
You missed out sleep for a Christmas treat. But Kieran, my friend, what are we listening to?
If you're tuned in, you are listening to the sounds of the Out of Home podcast, a show brought to you by four Londoners, capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. Today, it's only the three amigos, the three musketeers, Yaf, Kieran, and Kwame. But shout out to the boy, star boy, Stephen the Pamper, who is back home in the motherland and enjoying life in Nigeria.
Couldn't be happier for him.
Oh, bro.
Could not be happier for him.
Oh, couldn't. So good. It's good to... Do you know what? Like, he's had a year. He has had a year.
He sure has.
So he deserves that time off, man. And we're just sending love and good vibes to you, bro, all the time.
And I think by the time people are listening to this, they're probably going to be thinking to themselves, I've had myself a bit of a year as well, actually.
Jeez.
And I'm looking forward to 2023. Because I know why I sure am.
Oh, bro. It's been a year, man. It's been a good year. Can't lie. Full of surprises, lessons, learnings, stresses, blessings. All of that.
Stressings and blessings in equal measure.
Yeah. Trust me. But we're going to kickstart this show. Well, you just heard a little ramble of us and the things that we used to get up to when we were younger. But we're going to ask, what made you smile? I'm going to ask Yaf, what made you smile this week, bro?
We're going into it.
Yeah, man.
All right. So, a few things have been making me smile this week, or in the last 7 days, let me say. Thing number one is that I played paddle yesterday, or padel.
I think I know what sport this is, but can you please remind me?
Sure. So paddle, or padel, wherever you're from in the world and however you pronounce it, is almost as though tennis and squash had a baby together.
Tennis and squash.
So squash is that indoor court game that you like hit it against the wall.
Yeah.
He's playing the Brixton Rec all the time.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You used to hear like the creak of the shoes, and you used to hear the smack of the ball. That was one of the most vivid memories of me in like Brixton Rec, you know.
Is it?
You had play center, you had people playing squash, and then there was a swimming
pool. What about the patty shop? Do you remember the patty shop at the entrance?
Oh, at the entrance.
Yeah, at the entrance of Brixton Rec. Like, if you come in, past reception, turn left, there was a little calf, and they sold patties.
Oh, I do remember the calf.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It feels bad that we're talking about Stephen's patch without him being here. So we'll wait for him to come back.
To be honest, it's never been Stephen. It belongs to the good Brixtonites, and I happen to be one of those. So I'm not coming for his throne as the Brixton bully, but just so you know, everybody that listens out there, I am a proud Brixtonite, although I have expatriated.
Far. Still in a similar part of London, but pretty far.
Quay.
Quay.
I can definitely validate that. Week in, week out. So, I think I've lost my train of thought.
Sorry, bro.
But...
Brixton. Padel.
Yes.
I played that for the first time yesterday with a few friends. And my goodness, was it thrilling.
Was it?
Oh, it was thrilling. It was
so
good.
Where did you play?
In Fulham.
Of course they play padel in Fulham.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Well, a friend of mine lives near there, so he invited me to come and play. And then we went to watch the World Cup final together. So I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, man.
But it was sick. Kwame, you good over there, my friend?
Where did you watch the World Cup final?
At my friend's house.
In Fulham?
Yeah.
I'm going to get on to you now. What are you telling me that you're going to watch it? You're going to watch it at the airport?
Ah, I was supposed to go to Monaco for work.
Oh, okay.
But that got cancelled.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Which is why I'm in London.
I just want to check that you weren't lying to me on a national podcast.
I would never lie to you.
International podcast.
So me playing paddle, is one of the things that made me smile. We don't need to be specific about the era, my friend. You know? It's all about raising the heart rate, being active.
Gosh.
So anyone here who's listening, who hasn't played or is wondering what the hell is this guy talking about, definitely check out. Very fun racket sport that gets the blood pumping. Tip number one. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution, go and play paddle or padel.
Oh my gosh, man. This is not...
Okay, continue, please.
So that was number one. And then the second thing is, we spoke about it a little bit at the beginning, the Christmas cheer is well and truly here. Well and truly here. So I was in central London the other day, picking up a few last-minute gifts, and there was a group of lovely people playing steel pans, all in the spirit of raising money for charity.
Amazing.
I was like, this is so lovely. The sounds, you could hear them from miles away. Clear exaggeration, but you know what I mean. Went over there, me and my sister, and we started vibing to the steel pans a little bit. And just like people of all, I'm going to use Kwame's famous quote here. People of all colors and creeds coming together to listen to the Christmas cheer that was being spread by these jovial, steel pans. So I'm very much looking forward to Christmas. The one time of the year where me and all my family get together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just can't wait for the fucking food, bro. So that's what's been making me smile.
Sick.
I'm going to hand it back over to my friend here beside me, Kieran Kenlock.
Well, go on.
The man with the fire pants.
Yes, the fire pants, courtesy of Pata. So what made me smile? There's a few things that actually made me smile this week. On Thursday, I went to the theatre with my girlfriend and her family to see Best of Enemies, which has Zachary Quinto, and David Harewood, sorry. And it's basically about these two like political figureheads from, I think, the 60s or 70s, William Buckley and Gore Vidal. And it was basically about how news channels started to cover people in the public eye that weren't actually like political runners, basically.
Okay.
And it was basically like if Yaff and Stephen got on TV and started to talk about their issues about like politics, basically. But it was really, really good. It was done excellently. It was at the Noel Coward Theatre in, I think, Leicester Square. The set design was amazing. The script was amazing. And one thing I love about theatre, is that like David Harewood played William F. Buckley, who was a white guy in that time. But
he has no relation to Marlon, does he?
No, okay. I don't believe so anyway. But he's a black guy who played a white guy of that time. And he played it excellently, but it was so interesting because I'm sure people were like, would Google William F. Buckley later on down the line and they'd be like, oh, he was white. This guy was a Confederate, like, I knew straight away. Like, this guy was, like, a Republican.
Oh, that's
right. He played a Republican. He was, like, for Nixon and Reagan. He didn't like liberal, like, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, there's no way this guy was black. And also, in the 60s and 70s, when black people were going through civil rights movement, the only people that was on TV around them times would have been, like, yo, Malcolm X's Martin Luther King, maybe you might have seen someone else, but like it was a really good good play to just like see how news channels at the time, so like ABC, NBC, CBS, and all of those people were trying to like get ratings, and they did it through having a political debate over the course of a year.
Still
around
doing that.
Like and it was the first of its kind. It changed the president, so it was really dope to see that. Another thing that made me smile was watching the GOAT, the undisputed GOAT, lift the World Cup. And when I say the undisputed GOAT, I mean Messi.
Lift the World Cup in a robe.
That robe was a bit mad.
Like, there was a lot of. There was
why
a lot
did he?
Of...
Why did he need to? Like, why did they? If Messi didn't win, would they have put the captain in a robe?
I don't know. I really don't know. There were a lot of things happening in that game.
That was the best game of football at a World Cup that I've seen ever.
Yeah, facts.
Ever, bro.
Definitely.
There was drama. There was suspense. There was anticipation. There was penalties. There was goals. There was bro. I have said from the beginning of this like World Cup that I wanted Messi to win this World Cup
because
I feel like there should never be a player that good of our like and not win the World Cup, man. Like it just felt
it was a great story.
Unnatural a great story. To me. It's an amazing story, and I was so shook. But please shout out to young Kylian Mbappe, Kylian,
did his thing. I just close what you did there.
If he, at the age of that he is, to be doing what he's doing,
crazy.
I just had to sit there and be like, this kid is incredible, man.
Yesterday was a great advert for football. Great advert.
What an advert.
Great man. Advert. Like, I can just imagine Roger and Hunter in like Calabasas somewhere. No, not Calabasas. That's
Roger and
Minnesota.
Hunter.
Minnesota. In Minnesota.
Shout out to Minnesota.
Watching the World Cup final towers. With like, man, like, whoa, Kwame, give me a dog's name from America. I know you got one straight off the whim. Go on.
Rex, I don't know.
Chilling with man like Rex.
Hollering with Rex, yeah. Chilling with Rex.
Darlene's in the background somewhere.
Darlene.
Man said Darlene.
Ozark reference.
Clearly been watching Ozark. And, I can just imagine them going ham to the World Cup final. Like, oh my God, Lionel Messi, such a great player.
Is that your American accent? Is that your Minnesotan accent as well?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to caveat that segment there by saying I, by no means, am making fun of any Americans. But the point I'm trying to make...
Or Minnesotan.
Or generalizing anybody.
The point I'm trying to make is that I think people all around the world who are not necessarily into football would have watched that game and thought... I can get into this football thing.
Yeah, factual. And the last thing that made me smile was like, just this weekend gone by, had a fizzy Christmas. So,
what is that?
It's self-titled. The boys from my area that I grew up with, we came round. We bought a dish each, and we cooked and we ate, chopped bread, played some Articulate, and it was great. Me and my partner won, obviously, because we are super smart, but. It is what it is, man. I had a great time. I've been smiling. And, you know, sometimes during the week you might have some ups and some downs, but these are the things that made me smile.
We love to hear it.
Kwame.
Yo.
Good sir.
I don't know.
What made you smile?
I don't know. No, I think it's just like, in a weird way, just like banter. So I've been having, no, not banter, let me say it. Like conversation, again. Conversations with my wife and also my mom. So like, I was talking to my mom about something. She's in Ghana now with my dad, so shout out to them. And I'll talk to her mom, and after like we're saying something, and after she'll ask me a question about 2023. There was something I told her I want to do, and then after she was like, "Oh, Kwame, like that thing. Do you want to do it?" I said, "Mom, with every day I'm losing the appetite." She said, "Hey, just go and lose it. That thing, like, you don't need it anymore. You don't need it anymore." And the way she said it, I was like, bro, this woman.
That's funny.
And then, like, bro, she's so funny. So funny. And then me and my wife, I love saying that, by the way. I love saying that.
Yeah, we know. We love it too.
Yeah.
It's full so certy, isn't it? Like, you could be the biggest joke man in the world, but as soon as you say with my wife, like, instant, like, joke man points are instantly revoked.
Okay. Exactly. And the person would not have met your wife or seen your wife, be like, oh, respect. And now I've got respect for you. I thought you were a joke man before. No, we've been having like just like little like banter in and around the house, and like just now, like I was excited and I was like dancing a little bit. She was like, go Kwame, and I was like, oh, and I was basically like trying to remember our wedding dance routine. enough, then it wasn't happening. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, like we did it kind of well. She's like, no, we didn't, but it looked kind of cool. I was like, yeah, you know what? It did look kind of cool. And there's another thing that we had, like, she, for some reason, she was singing nice and slow in the bathroom. And me and her always have this thing where someone's singing and someone would be in the background, like, piping in with the ad-libs. So she was singing like, nice and slow. And I kept quiet. She's like, oh, like, no ad-libs today. I was like, no, like, I thought you had this on your, like, solo flex, innit? So it's nice that we have these little games and whatnot. But, yeah, that's so cute, quite simple. Like,
I know.
Because, brother, and I realised, like, we're going to have a lot of those in our lives, so might as well enjoy them, innit? You understand?
So, oh, man, I'm so happy for you, bro.
Yeah, bro, both honestly, of you, to be fair. This woman's a hater, though, bro. Like,
she's hating on partners of four. Partners of four, bro. Keep you honest and humble.
She's a hater.
She was hating on Messi in Argentina. She's like, oh, this team is not even good, fam. It's just all Messi. I'm like, that might be true, but Messi's a great player, isn't it? Messi's a great player. And that's the thing I love about the World Cup. Like, this woman does not care about football at all. When she came back, it's free. Like, what's going on? Like, she went around the corner to get some food. And it's like, that's what I love. Like, I love watching Instagram feeds and knowing this person was watching the match. And I'm like, big person, you don't ever watch football, innit? But for the World Cup, I mess with you hard. You understand?
Like, yeah.
I mess with your punditry and I know your hot takes because that's what the World Cup is. So, yeah, it's a beautiful game. But you know what's weird? We'll talk about it later. I think we'll talk about it maybe directly now. But after the game, I just felt blessed, fam. I was like, oh, I'm so lucky to have watched this.
Yeah, man.
We're so lucky to have watched Messi's career, that final, and also, like, witnessed at the start of Mbappe's. You understand?
Yeah, yeah. It's a real change, like, handing over.
It really was.
Yeah, man. Amazing game.
Football God said to Messi, bro, if you want this thing, we have to work for it.
Exactly.
This is really like, random, think, yeah?
Go on.
Yeah.
But, like, when I said handover, remind me of my retail days. I just want to shout out everyone that works in retail.
Big up everybody.
Time.
Oh, bro. Big up everybody. Bro, such amazing life experiences you gained from those, fam.
I feel like I'm the person I am today because of working in retail, you know?
Factual. Factual, bro.
Can talk to anyone.
Patience of a saint.
Yeah.
You hone in on your sarcastic craft because you can't be rude back to customers, but you can be sarcastic.
Oh yeah, but you have some shots sometimes, isn't it? And like, if you're smart,
absolutely,
bro.
Oh, my first ever shift at Nike at NTL was Boxing Day sales.
Oh, they threw you in at the deepest of ends,
bro. Man was working back a house. They told me I could choose some trainers. I thought this was the greatest day ever. Do you know what trainers I chose on my first day on working on Boxing Day?
Tell me.
Man wore Air Max 1s. By the end of that shift, my foot was done.
Leave some Lunar Glides on those.
Bruv, no one told me about that. From that day forward, I knew.
Some Pegasus.
I needed the comfort. Didn't care, bruv. Didn't care.
Needed some Vomeros, fam. This guy needed all the cushioning.
Oh, bro. Oh, man. It was a hellish day. But nah, shout out to everybody that's working in retail. We feel for you. And just keep checking away at it, man. Because that stuff is actually vital for like some sort of development in life. You know what I'm saying?
Retail and working on Boxing Day was the first time I saw a collection of grown men and women like act like fucking kids.
Oh, bro.
I remember my colleague. Do you remember Timmy?
Yeah. Big shout out to Timmy.
Timmy is probably one of the funniest guys that I've ever met in my life. The store was about to open, right? There are crowds, herds of people outside. We're situated on the second floor. And Timmy, so nonchalantly, as he folds his shirt, says, if you want to see what a group of grown-ass men running around like some damn kids looks like, just look at the escalator in about 2 minutes.
This is before the shop's open.
Didn't look me in the eye once, like, focused on the folding, and then...
That's hilarious.
Gave me the 2 minute warning. Lo and behold, bruv. Lo and behold. I don't think you guys know yet, but like, before I even saw the visual, I heard the clunk of people running up escalators. Look to my left, I see a group of people running. Timmy just looks at me, he's like, told you.
His time is impeccable.
Oh, it was a funny
shout out to timing, man. Because, oh, bro, the timing of a joke is just great. Anyways.
Absolutely. But Kwame, sorry, I don't know if you were wrapped up.
I was done. Yeah.
Okay, so love the What Made You Smile segment, because we always, again, take stock in what made us smile. But I feel like we generate so many random stories and quirks from that little segment. Mm. I know there was a few things that we wanted to touch on, man. There's a few things that have been happening. I mean, stuff happens every day, but we always try to prioritize and talk about the things that impact us and our culture and communities the most. So starting off on a little bit more of a somber note, but there was something that happened. We referenced Brixton earlier. There was something that happened in the Brixton O2 Academy last week where a Nigerian Afro-pop, Afro-beats artist by the name of Asake was touring in London. He did 3 nights. And on the third night, there was a lot of trouble outside of the venue. Mm-hmm. I think on the second night, or after the second night, he actually posted, if you don't have a ticket, or if you're... if you don't have a ticket, please don't turn up to the venue, because I believe there was some rumblings of trouble the night before. And then on the third night, things really, really sort of got out of hand, to the point where a number of people were hospitalized. Yeah. And it's come to light that at least 2 people so far have tragically passed away. So obviously our thoughts go out to those people, thoughts and prayers with their family and their loved ones, because nobody wants to lose a family member, especially around this time. It's just, you know, it hits extra hard. So just wanted to quickly touch on that, pay our respects, but maybe break down that situation and that scenario a little bit.
So the 2 women that passed, one of them was called Gabrielle Hutchinson. He was 23. She died today, Monday, 19th of December. And the first lady who passed was Rebecca Camello, 33, from Newham. She died on a Saturday morning. And there's also another person that's critical as well, but I don't think there's a name that's been released. However, like, I am... You can say something. No, I am... I didn't even see what was happening until, like, I checked Twitter and someone had said, like, people are moving mad in Brixton, sort of thing. And then I saw, like, some of the videos. And, bruv, there were so many people outside the concert venue. Yeah.
Do we have a number?
3,000, apparently.
Outside, right?
Outside.
Because the venue holds, what, 4,500?
4,500, yeah.
Yeah.
And an extra 3,000 people turned up without tickets to try and bum rush the... Well, that succeeded in doing that. Yeah. But to come to a venue and without a ticket to then do that. So I know we spoke about, like, venues and concerts last week, but to have that then follow that up, I was like, no way, bruv. No way. Like, we were talking about promoters. And, you know, when I first... My initial reaction to it was promoters fucked up here or something like that, yeah? Because I was thinking about security. I was thinking about, like, just making sure that they have, like, operations done properly, right? But then I was talking to Niall about it, and Niall was just like, nah, people are stupid. Like, I was like, nah. And it took me a while. I was like, you're right, bro. Like, who actually goes out, yeah, without a ticket in droves to a concert that you don't know you're going to get into? And then when you get turned away at the door, as you should, you decide that you're going to actually try and get in.
And it seems quite premeditated. There must have been some organized... Shaki has a song called Organized. There must have been some sort of organization behind it.
But maybe. And what we started to talk about, myself and Niall, yeah, was that... Because Niall actually used to work in O2.
Okay.
Like, just just working in a bar and stuff like this, yeah. Just like part-time as an extra dough. And he'd say, bro, I've seen big artists from other sections of the music world and this shit doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? He's like, why is it when our community have something like this, we turn out and act a fool? Mm-hmm. And now people are dying, people are in critical conditions, and no one knows who, like, no one knows who to blame. There's no one to blame at
the
moment.
There's an investigation currently ongoing, like priority investigation. So I know that we'll hopefully find out some more as to, like, what happened, how it happened.
Yeah.
How do we prevent this from happening in the future?
It was, yeah, it just really didn't sit right. Just to see, like, and it ruins it, bruv. It ruins it for, like, artists. It ruins it for people that want to put on good shows. It ruins it for people that have paid their good money to go out and enjoy themselves. That lady, Rebecca, was a mother of two.
Yeah.
One of her sons was autistic. As a person who knows what it's like to live with a family member who's autistic and to the level that they are, like, he's lost his anchor, bro.
It's crushing, man.
Like, he's lost his rock. And it's like, that shit to me, like, it really spun me, man, because she went out. She probably has to look after her child. She does. She looks after her child every single day. And she thought, you know what? I'm going to go out and enjoy myself just to see someone that I enjoy to listen to.
An amazing artist.
Take nothing away from Asake, yeah? But she's gone, probably found childcare for her kids or whatever. Like, gone out, and she doesn't come home.
Mm.
She don't come home, bro. And it's like, whoever was there at Brixton trying to get in, like, Bonfire, man. Like, that's dead, bro. Like, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Kwame, what's your thoughts over there, man?
Bro, it's like, keep touching it just now. Like, it's really sad, isn't it? Like, two people, Rebecca, a young mother, went to enjoy herself at a concert, and Gabrielle, a security worker, someone that went to work, like, worked the door, basically, was a contractor, doing her job so she can earn a living. And both of those people have not been able to return to their homes or to their families because of greed, because of entitlement, let's call it what it is. And yeah, I've made a really good point, like, people, because let's just say one thing, though. I've heard two things. I've heard a lot of people turn up without tickets, and heard there's some other people that have said, oh, the venue and the organisers might have oversold. So that's why there was an excess. I don't think that was everyone, but still. But I just think it's a shame. I don't know, it's just a shame. It's quite eerie for me, actually, because I was actually listening to Mr. Money with the Vibe, the album, in Amsterdam, probably around that time. Just, ooh, like, as in, I didn't even know. I didn't even know. You understand? And even, yeah, like, as you scooted me to the metro station on Tuesday, we had a word about the album. Like, it's a really good album and
album
everything.
Album of the year, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, and, very good.
Very good album. Like, the what do you call it? Transitions are amazing. But no, but back to the what do you call it, the bar call at Brixton. It's just really sad, and it reminds me of just, I guess, what I find mad is that people would have left their homes, like, no matter what happens, I'm getting in. Would have left their homes with, like, coordinated outfits, no matter what happens, I'm getting in. And then when they were told they can't get in, may have been incredulous. As in, like, what do you mean I can't get in? Like, bro, you know you haven't got to, you know you don't belong here. Mm. And felt some kind of entitled way that, oh, no, I must be here, so I'm going to get inside. And now look what they've caused. And it's like, you've changed. It's like, 8 people were in the hospital, 4 were critically, in critical condition, 2 have passed away, sadly. It's just going to get worse and worse. And also, this is, like, you know, Asake, this is his first album. So this will, not even first album, but this is him starting on his journey. So because of the ignorance of others, now he's a potential danger to other venues. Mm. You understand? So people around the world, around the country, may not for a little while be able to see him. And it's just, I don't know, man. It also reminds me of a time when I was in Rotterdam for the Rotterdam Carnival with some friends from London, tried to get into a venue. Maybe it was Bird or something, I'm not sure. And, like, people started pushing, and it's like, we were able to laugh because we were able to disperse, and there was a bit of uncomfort, and some police dogs came out after, and no one got hurt. But I mean, that could have taken a turn, and now made a good point. Shout out to a friend and a fellow guest or former guest of the pod. Why is it our people, and like what is it? Is it some kind of thing of impatience or some kind of? It's very strange and upsetting. But yeah,
do you know what though, Kwams? Yeah, I do feel. So the fact that Shaqay posted before that incident occurred suggests to me that there would have been crowd trouble prior to that to that night.
Yeah.
And so the question that I asked myself was, okay, what measures were put in place to prevent something like this from happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what? The people that came out in their droves to try and get in are fucking idiots. Idiots.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone disputes that. But then there's also the case of like, okay, on the flip side, what measures were put in place to try and prevent this? If anyone's been to the venue, the Brixton Academy or the O2 Academy is on a corner opposite Anando's, and it's actually quite a small road.
Yeah,
there's pavements on either side, and there's like a two-way... There's a singular road going one way and a singular road coming the other way. So it's quite a small road and a small space for 3,000 people to be congregated.
What?
It's really, really
small. So small.
Ironically, it's right near a police station as well.
Across the
police station
road.
Is literally a 20-second stroll.
If you got a good arm, you could probably knock a window out with a rock from the Brixton O2 Academy.
And so my thing is, what measures were put in place beforehand? And I'm sure this will all come out in the report.
Yeah.
But what measures were put in place beforehand to try to prevent this from happening? And that's the thing that I'm curious to know.
But yeah, can you really account for X amount of people turning up? Like, you have no idea about that kind of temperature, right? You don't know how to take it.
You're right. 100% you're right. And again, I think who do you guys...
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Who do you guys blame the most for this?
3,000 people that decided, or the first person that decided that they were going to try and push past security. And then the fuckers inside that continue to go inside and video and laugh and just add an extra squeeze to like an already packed and sold out crowd. Like, I blame those people. Last week, my issue was with promoters and with the whole WizKid and King Promise thing, right? But this week, I can't say it's solely on a promoter or event organizers. I have to blame, the blame has to be on the people that decided that they weren't going to take no for an answer and forcibly let themselves into the academy. It has to be. Because people have now died. And like, how can you live with that on your conscience, knowing that you were someone who pushed past and just because you didn't get, you never get it, bruv. There'll be another concert. You'll be able to see man another time.
There's some, this falls on the shoulders of idiots, I believe.
It's a fool. There's fools, bro. Fools, man. Fools.
Yeah. Let's see what the report comes out with and how we can move better. But I think Stephen made a good point, and he said our community needs to do better.
They do.
Because, you know, I mean, stuff like this has happened in the past, and we can't just put it down to the black community. But, I mean, there are some times when you can be disappointed.
Yeah.
And you're just like, guys, come on, man. In society, there's already certain stereotypes and certain things that are put on us. And my thing is, I hate when people, like, actively fulfill stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Or negative stereotypes, let me say. So it's just like, oh, guys, come on, man.
What was the Grime police report that they had back in the day to stop Grime artists from performing?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
It was like a numbered report.
Can you give some context on what this is?
So basically, around like when Grime were, I can't remember what year it was. Grime shows. It was called the 696 form. So basically, all acts that were performing in the UK would have to fill out a 696 report or a form to tell the event organizers and the police what kind of event it was going to be. And if you fell underneath, I guess, UK urban music, rap or grime, especially grime, they're shutting down your show, innit? And that was because there was a lot of trouble, that, well, quote-unquote trouble at these shows, and the police were, like, hunkering down on the trouble, in inverted commas, sorry, and certain acts. So if certain acts were there, they'd think, they're going to bring trouble, they're not going to... Gigs was a very, like, gigs had to deal with the 696 report all the time. Both sides were, like,
overwhelmingly black.
Yes, they were all overwhelmingly black. Big stigma. Big stigma. But what the reason why I bring it up is, like, days like today, like what happened, sorry, not today, but what happened on Friday, yeah, are examples of what the police will use to bring back forms like that.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, yo, you lot ain't performing. You're not going to be performing. And it's like, you harm the community more when you act selfishly. And it's like, why could you not see that? People just do not see further than just sometimes past their own actions. And it's like,
yeah,
this is damning for artists, it's damning for our music and our scene, which is growing ridiculously and becoming majorly profitable and popular.
Yeah, you're right. And I feel like that's, if you're one person that's going to this venue to think that you can get in, you probably think, well, what difference does it make if it's just me? Mm. But then when collectively you have 3,000 people out there that make up that huge crowd, it's like, bruv, you lot should just stayed in your yard.
It's like another O2 Academy that tried to get inside the O2 Academy that was full. It's mad.
Bro, trust me.
It's mad, bro.
No, prayers up to the two that passed 100%, away.
100%. And
hopefully we can move on from this, because it's... And when I say move on, I mean... the community can do better, and we can see, like, what the reasons behind everything were, and we can prevent something from, like, this happening again. All right, cool. I know we wanted to speak about a few other bits and pieces. We didn't actually talk about
Freya,
out of home 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, mate.
3 years in the trenches, bro, of being an international podcaster. Jeez. Shouts out to everyone from Hong Kong who has been tuning in.
Jeez.
We appreciate y'all. So,
And everywhere else.
Facts.
And
everywhere else.
Facts. But let's have a quick word on what's been happening over these 3 years, how we're feeling.
Wow.
What's going on for the next year? Where we trying to take this thing? Is it a global takeover? What's happening, my G's?
So much has happened in the 3 years. It doesn't even feel like it's been 3 years. It feels like it's been even longer.
Just like
than
a part of your life.
Yeah, bro. Like, I don't actually remember a time much when we weren't recording.
True.
Like, I guess, like, the shape of Out of Home has changed quite a bit. Obviously, when we first began, we were all in Amsterdam recording from Utrecht to Strat.
Wow.
Yeah, around this time at Christmas, man, 3 years ago, we were probably two or three episodes in.
December 5th.
Myself and Yaf moved back to London. And now we're like straddling two countries, and obviously the voices go out to many more. But in that time, we've done some crazy things, man. Some stuff that, like, even when I think about it, I'm like, as a podcast, you did what? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Couple things I guess I could, like, mention. Definitely going to African Cup of Nations this year.
Amazing.
Was it this year? Last year.
This year.
Wow.
That was life-changing, man.
That was life-changing, for real. Going to play on the Camp Nou with at Barcelona, FC Barcelona's pitch, with the Mandem. Having a fucking great time every time that we link up and just chat. 100th episode, you know, like going to Adam Torren, Amsterdam Tower, and providing a night of vibes with our people for the first time in such a way that it was like, it felt so natural. It never felt like we were missing a step or out of sync or whatever. It just flowed so naturally. working behind the scenes on some great content to come soon. Do you know, like...
It just needs to fucking come out now.
Yeah.
Goodness me, we've been working on this for a while.
We have been. We have been. But do you know what I feel like that project has kind of done for us? It's given us...
great hairs.
Yeah, apart from that. But it's given us an insight to how we can move and work as, like, a creative platform and not just a podcast. It's given us responsibilities and roles which people in, like, high places in business and corporations have to do on a daily. And we've been doing that as a side hustle alongside our corporate and very long and stressful jobs too.
I'm glad you touched on that. So I wanted to ask you guys a couple of questions.
So you set us up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But what you said just kind of triggered okay. a couple of questions in my head. But there's probably... I actually spoke to someone today who has a podcast in the States and wants to... Like, has taken some extended time off but wants to get back into it. I spoke to a colleague who recently left who wants to start a podcast... and so there's a lot of people out there who have considered doing a podcast or have started a podcast, stopped, and want to get back into it. So,
oh, I'm loving this.
What would you guys say is the most difficult thing about having a podcast? And then what would you say is the best thing about having a podcast?
Kwame, you go answer that now.
The most difficult thing is in part the easiest thing. The most difficult thing is trying to align with three other individuals that have their own lives. Now, a lot of people are going to start these podcasts on their own, which is hard because, you know, a lot of times you have to rely on yourself. But the most difficult thing is trying to find the time. And then, like, you know, and the most difficult thing is, I'll say, honestly, just, like, making sure you're all aligned, because at first it's only, like, a side project, but we do so much. It's basically on the front line, isn't it? You understand? Like, you put a lot of energy in it. And then honestly, the hardest thing is just to keep going. Because I remember, like, the second, third episode, I told you this before, like, we had an episode out, and obviously every Thursday we tried to get everyone to reshare. I was like, these men ain't even resharing, bruv. Are we even serious, bro? Like, are we really on this thing?
You always go back to this.
So
bro, I think it's so funny, bro. I was like, these men are wasted, bro. And I wasn't resharing, but anyway. But, like, for us, it's obviously a bit different because I don't think people... Yeah, I don't know how many foursomes there will be. But the best thing is having something you've created together, like a thought, exist. And people around the world can hear you. They can have experiences with you. You're able to spread, if anything... a bit of education, maybe enjoyment, maybe happiness. I think one of the best things, and Kieran, this is a shout out to your programming, is that, like, a lot of people have said, when listening to one of our Out-of-Home podcast episodes, it kind of feels like they're just in the room.
Yeah.
Like it kind of feels like we have all opened our doors and you're just another guest. Like, it isn't like this haughty thing where we're speaking about this highbrow stuff. It's like, no, we're just having a conversation and we welcome any ears. So I'll say that's the hardest thing is finding the time with three other people that have three demanding jobs, and as well as myself. And the most beautiful thing is having these adventures, private jokes, all these experiences with each other, and creating a real brotherhood that no matter what happens, that will all stand the test of time.
That's amazing.
You understand? Like, our kids in future will be like, Uncle Yaf, in episode 72, you were chatting rubbish. You know, all those things there, you know, like, so that's the best thing I would say. that's my long and short.
Do you know what's so funny, what you said about people not sharing? I think as you go on and you continue to create an episode and you put episodes out, you start to realize that, like, maybe your voice or your episodes are not for your mates as well. You begin to grow and then you start to find your own audience in it, and people will come to you really based off, like, your people find you, you know, like, not saying that your friends are not your people, it's just that they might have other interests, but because you're putting your voice out into the world, like, you have the opportunity to connect with different people that are of similar or like-minded as you. And that's, I think that's a really like dope thing about what we do or what podcasters do, you know what I mean? as far as some of the hardest thing, I think you touch on a lot of it, like Kwame, in terms of timing, in terms of like organization, and I guess like just like aligning with us four, like us, all four of us, is a difficult thing, especially with being in two different places, sometimes three, sometimes even four different places around the world, and we're still managing to get an episode out practically every week. But I would also say, just to add to some of this stuff, which might be quite trivial, is that it's not a hard thing, but it's quite interesting that people really listen to you, you know? Like, and I say that to say, we have these conversations, and 9 times out of 10, we might listen to it back, but like we just have the conversation, and then the conversation's done. But we have listeners, and they listen to us. And so,
do you know what? I'm going to disagree with that word. I think people hear us.
Yeah. Okay.
I think people are hearing us.
Yeah. Bro. Okay. Yeah. People are hearing us, which is that we are resonating with certain people. Yeah. But what's really interesting is that you'll meet someone and they'll know you more than you know them.
It's bad, isn't it?
Like, and they can probably tell, like, oh, Kieran's probably had a bad day, or Kieran's like, or Yaf's might have met Yaf's away over here. Kwame's doing this with his wife. Stephen's like things that like we talk about and we take for granted. Not that we do a lot of the things that we do. It's like we just talk and say because we're so comfortable talking to each other. Like it then becomes like available to other people, do you know what I mean? And I think for me, it's not as hard a hard thing. It's just a really interesting thing about being a podcaster. Like you might meet someone that knows more about you than you probably, that you'd have to be remembered about. Do you know what I mean? Like a thought about something, or like where you stood on something, which is really mad. But one of the most like the greatest things about having a podcast, again, to like just to say, Kwame, like you probably touched on a lot of things that I would have said as well. Just the fact that like we get to talk on a level with our boys, and we've grown. If you go from 1 to 151, like there's a growth there in like mentality, in the way that we speak, the way that we converse, the way that we dissect and just like dissect conversation. And things that are happening in the world, like there's a growth there. And I feel like I love the fact that we created this. It's ours, you know what I mean? And it's so beautiful to see that 3 years on, we're still providing a platform to our people, our community. And it's honestly only really getting started. Even though we've been here for 3 years, I'm still a firm believer of like you do something long enough, well enough, then you'll see success from it. And we've seen success in the things that we've done. Do you know what I mean? And it's just a credit to everybody that's on this show how much time and effort we put into this, because it's not easy. Like the podcasting is not easy. Like it's one of them ones where you're a voice. You're actually a voice, and people get used to hearing that voice. So you have to make sure that, number one, you have to be right on this mic, you know. You have to make sure that you have topics that people are willing to listen to. And again, it comes with research, it comes with like sharpening your tools and being a good conversationalist. But at the same time, it's just like we've been able to show that, and I feel like that's, yeah, credit to you, man. So what about you, Yaf? What's your answer to your question?
I think the most challenging thing is if you're doing it by yourself, it's finding the motivation to be consistent.
Yeah.
Because there's sometimes when you're not in the mood, or you can't be bothered, or you don't have the time. But if you're in a group, there's a whole element of, I can't be bothered, but I can't let the team down.
Yeah.
So I think on both sides, like if you're by yourself, it can be really difficult to muster up the consistency, the motivation, energy, whatever. especially if at the beginning you're maybe not seeing the numbers that you want to see.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that we consciously did quite well, is that we never looked at the numbers. Even now, we don't really look at the numbers because we don't really do it for that.
No.
Obviously, we know the numbers are climbing. Obviously, top 15% of Spotify, boom, jeez, boom, boom.
Come on.
But it's not something that drives us.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be difficult for someone by themselves. But I think the most difficult thing, if you're in a group, is similar to what all of you guys have said, but I think if we look at our lives outside of the podcast and we look professionally at what we do, we're all quite high achievers.
Yeah.
And we're high performers, let's say. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think when you have that mindset at work, you apply it to what you do in all areas of your life. So
facts.
Me being a high performer, Kwame being a high performer, Stephen being a high performer, and you being a high performer, it's difficult when you can't be a high performer in the podcast because you don't have the time.
Yeah,
or everyone can't apply
their
thinking to the podcast. Like it's actually frustrating because you just feel like you're leaving food on the table most of the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most difficult thing. And then also, when you do have a podcast or a venture, let's say with friends, at a certain point when that thing starts to become a tangible idea or a tangible avenue to diversifying what you do, and you're not just being defined by your job now, you've got out of home as well. I think the struggle or the difficulty comes when your friends also become borderline business partners.
Because then you have to
you're not just friends anymore, you know? Like there's, it's a bit
it's
more
a great
serious.
Point, yeah. Great point.
So you got to kind of navigate that. And like your boy who you just bust jokes with, it might not be the time to bust jokes. Like everyone needs to be serious and we need to pattern. And so sometimes when things aren't moving how you want it to move, it can be frustrating as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's really difficult. You really have to understand your friends and your people or the group, whoever it is that you're doing a podcast with, because if you don't, it can be frustrating. And it can cause, like, tension in a friendship group. I think the reason why we've lasted so long is because we're honest with each other. It might take us a while to be honest with each other, but we're honest with each other and we have conversations and we ultimately we iron things out. Do we get frustrated at one another? Of course we do.
Yeah.
But we know that this little thing of ours has some legs on it, and we try to persevere with that being said. So I think, you know, just like navigating the dynamics of friendship into business partners and just seizing on opportunities that you know are there is probably some of the most difficult things. And then the best part, whoo, boy, there's so many perks. I feel like all of us have grown as people because of the podcast. We've taken on different points of views of different people. We listen to each other. We've all become better listeners. I think at the beginning, I can hold my hand up and say I was like really talkative, and sometimes like I would cut people and I would go into like my own like monologue. So like I learned how to be more of a patient listener and take on people's point of views. I think as well that the podcast has helped us all in our professional life because it's allowed us to think a little bit more entrepreneurially, if that's a word.
I think so.
And because we've had that mindset, we've applied that to our kind of everyday thinking. I think one of the most interesting things about us as well is that, as I said, we're quite high performers at work. We have good jobs, whatever. But then when it comes to out of home, we're still very junior almost.
Yeah.
So you constantly have to switch from being someone who's highly respected at work, highly respected in your industry, to then being like a joke man that's trying to hustle and do little bits and pieces for the benefit of the podcast.
Yeah, you're so right, man.
Because
I
mean, the biggest eye-opener to this was when we was at African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
And there was, I'm going to be honest, bruv, some waste man guy that worked for whoever and was looking at us like we're just some any content creators.
Oh, my man.
Not knowing that we actually have jobs on the side and we're doing some decent stuff, bro.
Yeah, you have took that personally.
it was that person's like demeanor, speech, and also like their footwear choice as well. Yeah,
but they spoke to us like we were kids almost. And so what's really interesting for me has been navigating those two worlds almost, where on one hand, we're all doing really well work-wise, and God willing, that continues. But then the next day, you're like pitching out of home, or you're trying to sell out of home, and you're trying to get people to buy into it. It's just a really interesting dynamic. So I think for me, the thing that I've enjoyed the most about this podcast and us coming together is that there's been a lot of personal growth.
Yeah.
And we've all gained like really good skills from it that we can apply to our everyday lives. So It's been 3 years. Hopefully many more
man.
And we continue to grow and elevate each other, and hopefully elevate our listeners or our hearers' point of views.
Hearers.
So yeah, and if there is anyone out there who is trying to start a podcast, was interested to know more, just hit us up, man. I'm sure when we do have time, we'll always be happy to help and
yeah, for sure, man.
Give some points of view here and there. And then sure. The last thing I'm gonna say is, I know that Out of Home started as this concept of us literally living out of home.
Yeah.
When we started to see people say that they're considering moving here or they're considering moving there because of our podcast, that was one of the most validating things.
What?
For me. That was like,
that's crazy.
We are. Us four pattern joke men who probably 20 minutes before we started recording agreed in a WhatsApp group what we're going to talk about. People are hearing this and in some way, shape or form being inspired to move country or to take on a new venture or whatever it may be. So, yeah, man, I'm proud of you guys.
Proud of you too, man.
I'm proud of you guys and what we've achieved. And
yeah.
I think that picture of us four at Kwame's wedding was a symbol of the growth.
Yeah, for sure.
Although
man.
We can all see that. Crazy. It's probably a little bit more growing to do for me because I'm the only one that didn't have a suit. So.
Oh, that was your own choice, big man. That was your own choice.
But it was the ambiguous brief, but hey, that's neither here nor there.
I told you, suit and booty.
We will not go back to the ambiguous brief that Kwame gave and every one of us.
Oh, man.
About bro, what the ceremony
was came in seats and you didn't, bro.
Because I don't want to be overdressed. Bro, there was people at that. There was people there wearing trainers. People there wearing jeans. So, hey.
He's not wrong, Kwame. He's not wrong.
Bro, hear those me. People. Come on, fam. Don't do this to me.
Hey, last but not least, obviously this is the Christmas period.
Yes.
Tis the season to be jolly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's probably some listeners here who don't know what a typical Ghanaian Christmas looks like or a typical Jamaican or Trinidadian Christmas looks like. Kwame, can you shed some light as to what typically you'd be doing on a Christmas day? What type of presents, what type of food? All of that good stuff.
I don't know what typical Ghanaian, but Ghanaian house, Wilson Christmas usually would be starting off with, we'll start waking up about 10 or what. My mum would already been in the kitchen already like devising the feast, roasting the chicken, all that stuff. And my dad will start blaring hymns from like 10 o'clock, blaring like at an ignorant level, like the sound is quiet.
It's so funny.
My dad is different, fam, as you've seen. Blaring. Okay, cool. Then, like, there'll be plans for us to go to church for an hour or two. Then we come back, and then we just, like, chill. We just chill because usually, if it's at our house, then our cousins from Essex would come. So wait a couple of hours, like, for them. And it's so funny because when you're younger, like, 9, 11, 13, it's like, oh, the cousins are coming. But when you're like 18, you're like, yo, what are you saying?
Like, yeah.
It's weird. It's so weird. Like, it's all love, but at the same time, it's very different. And then, like, and your presents change. I remember, like, when you were like 9 or 10, like, me and my brother, we were very much gamers. He's like 4 or 5 years older than me. So we would be like, oh, we're getting a PS2. And what we would do is that we would sneak and, like, open the PS2. Mom, dad, not in. We'll start playing the games. And then 1 year, she was like, yeah, like, I know you boys are open. As if you want Merry Christmas, here you go. Here's your thing, have it. We felt so guilty, Bob. But we played anyway, fam. We played anyway. And then like, basically it's like, but basically like, there's like a full Christmas spread, chipolatos, stuffing, turkey, ooh, potatoes, gravy, and always jollof rice.
Customary, just the boot.
And then one of the Wilson Arthur, shout out to my cousins, our family traditions are watching the Christmas episodes of EastEnders.
Yeah, that happens as well.
Oh yeah, and when I was younger, my gifts would be like Next hoodie, Gap shirt, maybe a Ralph Lauren shirt, maybe a Nike t-shirt. Then when I started getting older, it would be socks.
APC.
I mentioned this before, but I have to mention it again because I'm still shocked. When I knew when Christmas Calvin stopped being Christmas for me, when I got some boxers called Calvin. Not Calvin Klein, just Calvin. And on the boxer, on the packaging, was just a picture of an old white man from the 1930s who probably wasn't even called Calvin, fam. And that's when I realised that Christmas stopped being Christmas for me. But it's a great time. I haven't had it since 2017, actually.
Oh, man.
Which is kind of sad because of holidays and COVID. And my parents going to Ghana for the last 2 years. So I spoke to my dad. He was like, no, for the next however long, just envision me and your mum always being Ghana. So if we don't have your own Christmas, you need to come out here.
That's nice. At least you got a spot to
and
go
I'll
to.
Pass it over to the, I'll pass it over to the London Lagans. What were the...
Before I go, you said something about you and your brothers, or you and Quex taking the PlayStation games and playing them before you had them.
Yeah.
I had a friend, yeah. I won't name his name because, I don't want his mum to know that this. He used to do this when he was younger. But he would get like Game Boy games for like birthdays or Christmas, yeah, and know where his mum hid them. He would open them, reseal them and be playing the game for at least 2 weeks before he got it and still open up the empty box.
Wait, what?
So his mum, say he had
first
a game
of all,
book.
His mum was buying presents 2 weeks in advance.
Oh yeah, she was
wow, sorry. That's organisation.
Mum is a legend.
I still got presents to get. Anyways.
Damn.
Anyways, yeah, he would take
Boxing Day, fam. That's what Lucian's
for. Don't do that, bro. He would take games a game. Yeah. And play it in his Game Boy and then pretend to be surprised when he got it at Christmas Day.
Is he an actor now?
I can't tell you what he does because it's very obvious who he is. But yeah, he's in the world of acting.
Entertainment.
And entertainment.
Wow. Great career choice, my friend.
What is a Christmas Day like in the Kenlock household, man? Do you know what? Christmas Day in my house is just banner. I think it's gone from being like a very big affair to being more intimate. Growing up, all of my cousins, as Kwame said, would come through. I'd be super gassed, they'd come round. And obviously, I think one year, I was talking to my mum recently, there was like 20 of us in the house that she had to prepare for dinner for. But as the older cousins get older and have their own families, they got to do their own thing. So the Christmas, as you said, gets a little bit more intimate. But we wake up, have a traditional Caribbean breakfast. You got some ackee and saltfish fried dumpling.
Amazing. Every
beans,
Christmas
eggs.
You guys eat
that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Beans, eggs, yam, banana, all of that.
Wow.
And then basically, until then, like... It's just, where's the drink at until dinner time?
Which drink?
Oh, so recently it's been Courvoisier or Hennessy in the yard.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You guys go ham. We're on a Bailey's thing.
On a Bailey's thing? No. Well, I don't really like Bailey's like that.
Wow.
But it's funny, like, as me and Alex, my brother, whose birthday is today, big shout out to you, Alex.
Hey, happy birthday,
27th Alex. Birthday today.
It's only 27th.
Yeah. But... Me and as we got older, like, obviously you start to realize that, yeah, as you the presents start to become a little bit less and less and less. But we started to like just take the piss out of everybody with our gifts. So it started. I think I said it on the pod once, but it started when my mum, like, she would hide presents within presents, right?
So, like, she'd give you a dead present, but your present will be inside the present, innit? So we started to flip it. Like, but Alex one time took it too far, wrapped up a gift that he didn't have for Nathaniel. Nathaniel opened an iPad, and there was nothing in there. I said, Alex.
That's heartbreaking. Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
I said, Alex, you know you have to buy him the iPad now, bro.
It's heartbreaking.
But, nah, it's practical jokes. It's banter. We used to have a tradition where, like, all of the younger kids would get together.
Yeah.
And they would have to do, like, some sort of, like, entertain us, bro.
Yeah.
So, like,
yes.
We'd have to be like, yo, let's make up a dance, like, a dance routine, or who's singing what.
Like a talent competition.
Yeah, basically a talent show for the parents. But we haven't done that in so long because obviously everyone's getting a lot older. And yeah, man, it's just vibes, good food, always food. That dinner, chicken, lamb, leg of lamb, rice and peas. We used to do oxtail, but I don't think we'll do it this year. Don't have stuffing, no turkey, don't have turkey in my yard. all the trimmings, all of the gravy.
Oh, so good.
And yeah, bro, like, Christmas goes down in the Kenlock household.
Bro, I hear it.
It really does, bro. I love it as well, because even though I did say that I was more like a Scrooge when I was younger. And probably when I was older, when it came to, like, decorations and that. I just love being around my family around that time. Because it's just funny. Everyone's so relaxed for those 3-4 days. Because, like, there's no work. No one's really looking at the time. No one has nowhere to go. Nothing to do. It's just chill off. There's great films on TV. Like, the food is in abundance. Me and Mama try and mince pies from every shop you can think of.
Oh, yes, bro.
Yeah, like, we do this thing, yeah, where, like, we used to do this thing when I lived there. We'd go to all of the different, like, supermarkets and try who's got the best mince pie.
Who's got
the best? Yeah, yeah.
Who's the winning champion?
Sainsbury's.
Okay, good to know.
Sainsbury's / Marks and Spencer's.
Good to know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what about you?
Oh, man. First off, I feel like Christmas changes the older you get.
Yeah,
of course. Not just from presents, but like your outlook on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me now, Christmas is just a dope moment for all of us to come together.
Yeah.
Chill, have jokes, catch a vibe. And also, your outlook on presents changed. Like, my dad asked me this year, what do you want for Christmas? I was like, nothing.
I'm blessed, fam.
Yeah. I'm actually good. Like, I now get way more joy giving people sick presents that I know they're really going to like.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, Christmas and what it does for me has completely changed, where it's just completely about family now. What I will say is that there isn't necessarily a routine for us. Everyone usually wakes up around a little bit later, like 9 or 10.
Yeah, yeah.
By that point, my dad's already, you can just smell the macaroni and cheese.
Jeez, macaroni and cheese.
Just baking off in the oven.
Jeez.
My dad makes legendary mac and cheese, by the way. I haven't been to a place better that does better mac and cheese than my dad. It's just, if you don't know, my dad was a chef for a long time.
You just said you haven't been to a place better, but all you do is go downstairs, so I let you go to a restaurant, isn't it, fam?
Bro, I've had mac and cheese at many a restaurant, and none of them have come close.
No, but, okay, I hear you, but, okay, it's just the phrasing threw me off before it continued.
So we wake up, food's baking off. We usually just, like, start watching films from early. Everyone's drinking. There's always chocolates in abundance. Quality Street, celebrations, all of that good stuff. Mince pies.
Bailey's is flowing.
They normally put Nala, who is our cute brown Staffordshire Terrier dog with a lovely, innocent brown eyes. They always put her in, like, some sort of Christmas costume, which makes her look uber cute. She's just running around with, like, some antlers for the day or whatever. And then, obviously, like, we do... Like, the gifting is very important to us. The present side of things really important. So my brother, Niall, usually assumes the role of Father Christmas and would, like... He's the one who dishes out the presents to everyone. And then he'll be like, this is to Jadeen from Atlanta. And then we wait for the person to open it. And then it's very personable, which is very nice. We do the presents, then we'll eat. Usually food for us is the mac and cheese, which I've already alluded to. Fish, chicken, roast chicken, lamb, rice, potato salad, like all the trimmings.
Yeah, all the trimmings, bro.
Do you know what I realized last week?
Go on.
Christmas crackers are a British thing. They don't do it in the Netherlands.
Is it British or is it like...
It's definitely not happening in the Netherlands.
Okay. West, is it American?
We're going to have to find out. But to all my Dutch friends listening, I'm sorry that you guys don't have this tradition.
Man, Christmas crackers, excellent. Man.
If you haven't heard a bad joke on Christmas Day from a Christmas cracker, have you even really lived, bro?
If you've not put one of those paper crowns on your head, brother, have you really lived, bro?
They're part of the celebrations in the UK, Ireland, and Commonwealth countries such as Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and South Africa.
So it is a British.
Thing. I wonder what the tradition behind them is.
We'll have to find out.
And then lastly, like after we eat, it's just chilling, playing Monopoly.
Monopoly.
When we were younger, it would be playing with the toys or the games that we had and just fucking around. But now, I would say probably for the last 7 or 8 years, a big part of the routine has been watching the NBA Christmas Day games.
Oh.
Because they are usually some of the best games
that
a man can watch.
I think I did that last year as well, Bro, I think I did that last year.
Such high quality games.
Yeah.
Some naps in between.
Oh, power nap essential on Christmas Day.
Essential, bro.
Ah, pudding. What are you eating for pudding, bro?
Oh, we usually have cake. My dad makes a cake.
Is it?
Bruv, there's some apple raisins, custard, currants, and some other stuff currently being soaked in alcohol now and have been apple doing so for the last 3 weeks.
Apple pie and custard, fam. Just give me that, fam.
Bruh.
Apple crumble.
So, that's normally how a celebration looks. And then we tail off into the night.
Amazing.
Music, laughter.
Amazing.
And good vibes.
I love that, man. I love that. As I said, I find Christmas such a joyous occasion, especially when you're around your loved ones. I remember when I was younger, like, we always wanted to open the presents early. My mum would give us one, like the stroke. Yeah. And then she'd give us one at midnight, knowing full well we're going to my grandma's in Slough and we weren't opening no presents till everybody that was coming to that house had eaten dinner.
I'm sorry.
So 7 p.m. we could be waiting to open up presents. As a child, we're just like, this is long, brother. So now we do it in the morning anyway. But man, thanks for sharing. I'm so glad that we've done it. 3 years. Mm. Another Christmas. I guess we can just wrap it up here. You've been listening.
I like what you did there. Wrap it up.
You've been listening to the Album Podcast with your boys, Kieran, Kwame, and Yaf. Big shout out to the star boy, Stephen, in Nigeria right now, repping that gold. Oh, goodness me. Green and white.
Shouts out to the Super Eagles.
Shout out to the Super Eagles. Oh, man. Have yourself a very merry Christmas. And happy new year.
Happy holidays.
And if you don't celebrate,
holidays.
Chill and enjoy the time off.
Chill and enjoy the hot time off for sure.
And listen to your iPhone podcast.
I know. We got some shit for you.
On repeat so we can run out.
Anyway, bless.
You London boys are crazy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.